Job chapter 23, let's start reading in verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I'm troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you so much for how good you've been to me, Lord. And I realize from all my heart, Lord, I realize it's not because of my own righteousness that you're good. It's because of your righteousness, Lord. You're a good God. And so I thank you for being you. And I pray now tonight that you'd help us as we get into the Word of God, that you'd make me an able minister of Jesus Christ, that I might help somebody out here tonight, Lord, and be a blessing to them, that we might take this passage and find what God has in it for us, and that it might help us, Lord, to live a Christian life in a way that, live our Christian life in a way that's pleasing to Jesus Christ and gets us through the times when we don't really have answers. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So now here in chapter 23, Job answers, and he's continuing this back and forth between him and these Yahoo buddies of his. I've been thinking about this just a little bit, and I do some self-examinations and gut checks according to my preaching from time to time. I know you probably don't think that. I probably look like I just get up here and rant and rave and go off the cuff. But every once in a while, I like to sit back and make sure that I'm sending the right message in the message. You've heard me get pretty hard on Job's accusers, and I think justifiably so. I get wore out with watching self-righteous people who think they know something hurt other people by running their mouths and being critical and judgmental and overly spiritual when they're really not as spiritual as they think they are. I get wore out with watching people get bullied and manipulated. I cannot stand those kind of tactics. I don't like watching it in a church service where you use the music to build up and work up all the emotions in the room, and then the preacher kind of jumps off the music, and the whole center of the meeting is all on the music and getting them all frothed up and excited, and the preacher tries to jump off the music and use that to manipulate emotions. I watch that kind of stuff. I look for that kind of stuff. I get aggravated at that. I want to appeal to your heart. You understand that? Somebody was leaving here on Sunday morning and he said, "Preacher, you got me again. Every time I come here, you get me. You just got me again." And he's tapping his chest. And I said, "Good, praise the Lord, man. I'm glad to hear that." I said, "Just so you know, that's exactly what I'm aiming for." He said, "What?" I said, "Your heart." I said, "If I ever hit your head, just your intellect, I just missed. I'm aiming for your heart every time." That's what I want. I want God Almighty to get your heart. I want this book to get your heart. I want you to be able to sit back and get fed from the Word of God in such a way where you actually are making a decision between you and God. I've been praying for these kids, and my heart's been going out to these kids. I really want God to get a hold of the hearts of our children. I want the messages to be such, and I'm praying about it and analyzing it and working on it. I want my preaching to be such that these little kids are sitting here getting something from God, and God starts getting a hold of their hearts from the very time that they're the youngest in this room all the way up. I want to see God get their hearts. I don't like watching people use God, use the Bible, use verses to manipulate other people to do what they want them to do. I've seen, and I've said this before, I've seen grown parents. When I say grown, I mean like way old enough to know better, like 60-something years old, using the Bible against their 30- and 40-year-old children to control and manipulate the decisions of an independent adult. Because they got an image of what they want their children to be, their grandchildren to be, what they wanted them to become, who they wanted them to marry, how far away they wanted them to live, what their Saturdays were going to look like when the grandchildren were around. Because, of course, every Saturday was going to be time at Papa's house or Nana's house, and you're supposed to be over here. And if you're not here, it's, you know, the guilt trip, and you're supposed to honor your father and mother, and I want you here. And they start using the Bible to manipulate adults into not even having a life or an adult family or their own little habits or traditions they want to get going. That stuff aggravates me. And the problem is, when you got a Job who really loves the Lord and wants to do right and cares about God, and he's down and out and he's beat up and he's broke down a little bit, he is very vulnerable to an attack, especially when that attack comes from somebody who may be well-intentioned and may be spiritual and may even know him well enough to know his faults. So now you can make it super personal and even more painful. One thing that I've learned about the Lord, if I know anything, one thing I know about the Lord, he knows me better than you do. And he loves me more than you do. That's not meant to be antagonistic or mean. I'm just saying, God knows my faults. Man, he knows every single thing about me. He knows some things about me that are bad that I haven't even realized about myself yet. And he still loves me and cares about me and wants to get me through. Boy, I sure want to be like that. There are times in your life where you'll wind up in the boat Job is in, sooner or later. I'll say this, it does rain on the just and on the unjust. Do you know saved people get cancer? Born again, Bible-believing Christians, living right, doing right, wouldn't cuss, wouldn't gossip, read their Bible, pray, witness, give generously, get cancer. Do you know saved people that read their Bible, believe the Bible, do right, don't cuss, don't cheat, try to keep a clean mind, get cancer and die early? You know, some of that stuff doesn't make any sense at all to me. Well, a lost man lives like the devil, gets it and beats it. Or smokes his whole life and never gets it. I'm here to tell you, and I'm not trying to depress you tonight. I'm going to try to help you. But I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of things in this life where you don't have an answer. Yes, sir. Things will happen to you, and there is no answer for it. And I want to talk to you about that just a little bit tonight, when you don't have an answer. Notice, first of all, in setting this thing up before we look at what to do. He says in verse 2, even is my complaint, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. What he means by that is that stroke is a hostile blow or an attack. A sudden attack of disease or affliction, a calamity. He's saying, I was going through my life, I was doing right, everything was going wonderful. I had no idea this would ever happen to me. I never saw this coming. And all of a sudden, something just hit me out of the blue. And he said, and I'm trying to tell you how bad I'm hurting, and what I'm feeling is so much heavier than what I can even tell you. I can't even explain to you how I feel right now. He says it is heavier than my groaning. Y'all are getting on me about what I'm saying. Y'all are getting on me about the things that I've said that are inaccurate and the pain and heat of the moment. Y'all are sitting around with all your opinions about my life. I'm not bitter right now. That's what I said at the introduction there. I check myself because I don't want to come across like I'm bitter towards everybody else. I'm not a know-it-all either, but I have experienced a little bit of some of these things, not a lot. A lot of people experience a lot more than that. I'm not being a crybaby and old me, but I've seen some of this. Like, look, I'm hurting right now, and y'all are showing up to try to help me. You never cared about my life at all before this. But now that you heard about my calamity, now that you heard about my stroke, now that you heard about my problems, you all want to jump on board. And it's not like just being a blessing. We've had a ton of people just being a blessing to us right now. We're not Job, and nobody's been Job's friends, okay? So it's not that. It's a history of, I'm 42 years old, I've been in church pretty much that long, since the time I was born. And even backslid, I showed up on Sunday morning, because I just was afraid God was going to kill me if I didn't, to be honest. And so, I've seen so much of this. All of a sudden, everybody wants to show up and be spiritual in the life of the one who's hurting. And then they hear now all this stuff coming out of his mouth, in his pressure, in his pain, in his heartbreak. They hear what's coming out of his mouth, and then they're just nitpicking what he's saying. Look, when a guy's freaking out, when his life literally came apart, I can kind of like try right now to imagine it, and I got to be careful because I don't want to get emotional. I can try to imagine what in the world it would feel like to be Job right now. You see your little girl, and she ain't so little anymore. She's 16, but she's my little girl going into a surgery. And you sit there and you think, you know, your mind's like, man, how long's it been? Hope everything's okay. You're checking that screen. You're praying. You're trying to pray. You kind of sometimes, I don't want emails about this. I don't want emails about this. The reality is sometimes you want to pray, but you can't really say much. You don't know, you can't explain why. You're just like, oh God. And then you just trust he knows your soul. I can't imagine looking at those caskets. I am not man enough. I'm sorry. I forget the tough guy garbage. I'll cut off cauliflower ears before I'll try to walk that road. No way, man. I am not the man Job was. I cannot imagine the insane duress that man had to be under. The border of losing his mind. I probably would have lost mine. And then these guys are showing up and trying to talk God to him. Think about it. He says in verse number 4, I would order my... Oh, verse number 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That I'd come to his seat. You know what he's saying right there? He said, man, I am looking for God. If I could physically, visibly find him, if I could walk up to him right now, if I could see him, I just need... Have you ever gotten so desperate that you said, Lord, I know what dispensation we're in. I know how to rightly divide, and I know you don't do things this way. So if you'd help me out, I won't tell nobody. Could you just give me like a pretty obvious sign? I don't know if you've ever been that desperate, but once or twice I have been. Did he do it for you? No, he didn't. I might not be as spiritual as you. If he did do it for you, don't tell me, because if you come tell me, I'm not going to believe it was him. Because when you're bragging about it, you got a different spirit. He didn't do it. I understand that feeling a little bit, not like he did, a little bit, in my own little immature, weak way. Look at verse 4. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Excuse me? Well, first of all, when you hear the word argument, you think of being argumentative. But an argument could be a case. So I don't sense in here that Job is being angry toward God, although he does have some bitterness, so it could be. Did you hear the way I just said that? Very important for you to understand the way I just said that. I'm giving you my take on it. I don't think Job was being like angry to the Lord. I think he was saying, if I could appear before my judge, if I was standing before God, I would lay out for the Lord what's been going on. Because I know God, and if I could lay it out for him, I think then things would turn out a little bit different. I think then things would go better. So I would really like to order before God. I'd like to lay out all the details before the Lord. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you were wrong just a little bit? Somebody wronged you? And everybody knows about it, but you're trying to be big about it and keep your trap shut so you don't hurt the other person and look like a gossip. And you're like, man, if I could give you all the facts, I can't and I won't. Why? Because that would change my character. And you don't need them anyhow. Amen. It's not going to help anybody. It's only going to hurt somebody. But that's what I think he's saying. If I could just lay this out before God, I really wish I could go through the details because I know I'm not perfect. Job's never said he was. But if we really laid out all the details and you got the big picture, what's going on, I think just judgment would be passed here. And looking at this thing as honestly as I humanly know how to look at it, I'm telling you right now, if I could lay it out before my judge, if I could give him my argument, if I could just see his face, look at verse 5. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. That's why I don't think he meant that as argumentative. He said, if I could see God, and if I could talk to him, and if I could lay it all out for him, then I would know. When he spoke to me, then I would understand. What he's literally saying is I know that God knows. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. He said, for then I could grasp the insanity of what's happening in my life. Then I would know why he let this happen. Because I know God, and I know he's right, and I know he's just, and I know he's holy, and I know he's my redeemer, and I know he's my daysman. I know he'll take care of me, and I know him so well that I know that if I could just hear from him, I would finally get it. That's what I think he's saying. I believe Job is still packed full of faith in God, in spite of all that's going on in his life. Does this make you feel a little bit weak? Because it kind of does me. Because I kind of lose my faith a long way before this point. That's why I don't think you've heard me beat up on Job, as far as I know at all, yet. And if I have, I'm sorry, I admitted that he's a sinner, and I've pointed that out because he isn't Jesus. But my goodness, when God says, there's a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Hey, have you seen my servant Job? You think I'm going to trash talk him? I don't want to draw that kind of attention from God or the adversary. I ain't that stupid, man. Amen. I ain't afraid of much, but there's someone I'm afraid of something. I'm sure enough afraid. Amen. Look at verse 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? Will God plead against me? No. But he will put strength in me. You know what he says? When I finally understood it, when he finally explained it to me, I don't think God would crush me. I don't think God wants to crush me. Actually, God will put strength in me like he did for Daniel. Daniel's weak, can't even get up, and God puts him on his feet. Like he says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Man, God puts strength in his men all the way through the Bible. Like Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. God puts strength in his men. It's God that puts the strength in them. And Job knew that. Powerful man. Do you understand the power this man had? Powerful man. And he knew it was Almighty God that put strength in him. I don't see here much in here that I would dispute with Job about at all. Look at verse 7. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Now the way I see that in verse 7... And some of this stuff's tricky, so you could take issue with me if you wanted, but that's fine and waste of both of our time because I'm not going to fight you. There the righteous might dispute with him. So what he's saying is, you high-rolling holy rollers, you righteous guys that think you know it all, when you stand there, yeah, you might dispute with him, you might argue with him, but look at the contrast, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Job is saying there, from what I see, and I double-checked myself with some legitimate sources, not the punks, legitimate Bible-believing sources. And from what I see there, he is saying either you guys are my judges or He knew something was going on in the background. A sense in him understood, this has got to be the devil. This has got to be spirits. Something unholy is happening. Something wicked is going on. And so that's why he said, then would I be delivered forever from my judge. So here they are judging him. He said, you guys are getting in front of God and you'd want to argue with him about my life. Ain't it something? Ain't that human nature something? And just because you got saved and just because you walked into a Bible-believing church doesn't mean that wicked human nature checks itself at the door. You get that all? I'm about to kill these stinking Kleenexes. You see me trip over them 50 times. I'm watching you guys waiting for me to fall. Not really going to kill the Kleenex. It's all right. Now watch this. So that's a great setup, man. I mean, I think now we all kind of get a good grasp of what's going on in Job's mind and heart, right? Now here's how I broke down the rest of the chapter. I see three different things that Job did in his troubles when he did not have any answers that got him through. And without these things, he wouldn't have got through. The first thing you'll notice is in verse 10, Job never forgot that God sees his way. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what you got to remember when you don't have answers, when nothing seems to make sense, when you really want something special from God and he stays quiet? Because you guys, you have prayer requests, I have prayer requests, our fellow brothers and sisters in this church have prayer requests, and we've sought the Lord and asked the Lord and begged the Lord and pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord seems sometimes to back up and clam up and give you absolutely nothing. Am I alone? I'm the only one that's read Numbers. Really? I'm the only one in the building that reads Genesis to Revelation through my Bible and has over the years come across Numbers being my portion or some of that Old Testament law on and on, the tabernacle stuff, on and on and on, day after day through my devotions when I'm having a hard time at the same time and I'm asking God to speak to me and I'm getting nothing out of it. I'm the only one that showed up at church and sat down really wanting God to give me an answer about something and said, wow, there was nothing in that for me today. Come on, you won't break my heart. I'm not stupid. I know. You can't sit here year after year and not have one Sunday where you walk up going, well, Pastor, really, that was a dud. He's in the hospital all week. He hasn't getting much sleep, right? Yes, sir. Never showed up and just, don't say yes, sir, to that one, brother. You've never showed up and just not, I know, just not got anything when you really wanted something. Job had that. What do? I'll tell you what to do when you hit those dry spells. You better hear me loud and clear. Don't you forget, God knows your way. He knows what you're doing. He's watching the way you're going. And he said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God's watching you. You ever feel like a hypocrite when you come to church? Here's a good one for you. Have you ever sat down and read your allotted portion of Scripture and afterwards realized that you're not even sure what chapter you were in? Yeah. Have you ever gone back the next morning and gone, man, I didn't put my marker in here. Let me find it. And you're going through and you're like, no, I could. Did I read this or not? You ever get discouraged where you're like, you know what? What's the point in even reading it? You ever get down to pray and just feel like that was a waste of time? Don't even really know what to say. Why should I pray anyways? Why should I read anyways? Why should I come to church anyways? Because I need to remember that God knows the way that I take and God Almighty is watching me. And Job didn't forget that. There was no answer from heaven. All he got was more and more pressure. But boy, he remembered God was watching him. And he said this in verse 8, behold, I go forward. You ever try to go forward? Come on, you ever try to go forward for the Lord? I need to grow. I need to get the victory. I need to change. I'm sick of struggling with this exact same thing all the time. You know what? I want to give more. I want to witness more. I'm going to get tracts in. I want to pass out some tracts in. I want to change that. I'm going to go forward. And you start trying to go forward and he's not there. You run right into that same brick wall. Watch. This is a pretty powerful chapter. It's short but powerful. And go and backward. You ever fall backward? And you didn't fall into the arms of Jesus. You fell right on your hind end. Come on. Like, whoa, wait a minute. You know how many Christians I know that are good people, that love the Lord, that got some secret struggles and secret sins that, you know, they might even be pretty bad stuff. You might be, you know, wrong. You might need to really knock it off. It might be pretty bad. But you got an issue. You got a struggle. And you fall. And you know 1 John 1:9, so you go get on your knees and you try to confess your sin because he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And you get up and you don't really feel like the relationship's restored. And the devil says, oh, you're just going to do it again anyways, and you know it. And you're like, did he really forgive me or not forgive me? Or I know he said he would, but well, I fell, and I don't feel like I fell into his arms at all. Job knows what you're feeling. You know what Job did when there was no answer? He remembered God knows his way. Even when life is pulling you back, verse number 9 on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. So I tried that and it didn't work. And I fell and that didn't feel like it worked. And we know that. So now I'm going to fix it. I'm going to try this. And then I'm going to try this. And I need an accountability partner. And I needed this. And I needed that. I'm going to try all these things. And everywhere I turn, he's not there. Well, you might be under an attack from the devil. You might be under an attack from the flesh. You might be under an attack from the world. But let me explain something to you. God Almighty knows where you're at. You know why God hasn't killed you yet? Because he's good. He's good. He loves you. He loves you in spite of you, not because of you. Can't ever forget that. I got in the car and I was heading home yesterday because they only let one of us stay the night. And the song come on, I want to say thanks. Thanks for all you've done. I have been blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. And it just really hit me on the way home. God wasn't good. Took care of our kid. Because we're so righteous and so holy. We're nowhere near as holy as Job. Neither of us think we are. Neither of us have that attitude like we think we got it all together. Sometimes we're shocked that we're even doing what we're doing with our life because we feel entirely human. Not every preacher. I got some good ones. But a lot of preachers I know and their wives, you know, they present it like they're all got it all together and they wish they could take a bath, but they're so good at walking on water they can't settle in, you know. We don't feel that way. I felt like on my way home, I just want to say thanks. Because I feel like you're good to me. In spite of me, I don't feel like it's because of me. You know why God hasn't wiped you out yet? Because he's good. Remember, God knows your way. And God tries his children. Verse 10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You ever give your kids enough rope to hang themselves? So in this whole mess of the weekend, excuse me for this, most of you know anyhow, because we got out of the car and within 3 seconds we heard at least two of our kids running to everybody and telling them. And we talked about it before, should we tell the kids to keep it quiet? We're like, yeah, then we just ruin their joy. Why do that, you know? So Saturday I get up and I'm praying, and I this is silly, please forgive me for this, okay? I don't want emails about it.
I'm feeling mischievous tonight. we get up and I'm like, Lord, you know what? They're all kind of tense and understandably so and nervous. And I said, we've been talking more and more here and there about puppies. I said, I really want a black pit bull. And if you don't mind, I'd like one today. And if this is dumb and the wrong thing, shut her down. I mean it, shut her down. And I get on there and I pit bulls in Michigan. Puppies in Michigan. First one popped up, been up there 17 minutes. Little black, jet black, beautiful little pit bull. Big old paw sitting out there. Still. I said, I called him up. Yeah, we still got her. Now, that kind of dog's way more than I can afford right now. Got a lot of bills coming in. I said, how much? He said, we haven't even talked about it. We want her to go to a good home. He said, we got her from my girlfriend's aunt and uncle. And then, because the landlord changed the paperwork and said we could have big dogs, and then when he saw it was a pit bull, he said, we can't keep her. We're heartbroken. We got two little girls, a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old. We just want her to go to a good home. I said, I'm on my way. So me and Gracie jumped in the car, and we ran out there. I said I'd never go to the ghetto and get a dog, and it wasn't quite the ghetto, but it was close. And we got back there, and, man, just the nicest couple. Kid's name was Ace. His girlfriend was there. She was crying, didn't want to see the puppy. They gave us to her for steal, that kind of dog. She's a beautiful dog. I brought that puppy home, and, man, everybody forgot about the surgery all weekend. We were just that dog just brought so much joy into our house, little floppy paws all over, falling. So clumsy, she's falling on her face while she's running around. She's trying to run, and she's right on her face, like, you know. You know what you got to do? It's a lot of work training them. You know what you got to do with them? You can't over-control them because you'll frustrate them and confuse them, right? But you can't let them go so far as they start tearing the house down. So you've got to figure out how to show that puppy where it can move safely and be okay and where it's not allowed to move. I mean, you can't start beating an 8-year-old dog. It doesn't understand what you're doing. Like, you don't beat infants. Duh. I know parents that think it's okay to swat an infant. They need to go see a shrink. But you can start training them right away, right? Like, I don't respond to that when you're throwing a fit. You go ahead and you scream it out because that's where you're sleeping. We checked your diaper. We fed you. We know you're good. You're staying there. You just want to be picked up. You give them a little bit of leash. Do you understand what I'm saying? A little bit. So that they can get their energy out. They can kind of figure it out. Things running around, smelling everything, checking everything, and wants to bite everything. Ah, what's that? Couch, a leg? Ah, you know? And you got to, like, shh, nope. You know, God's, do that with your kids, right? You dish them out a little bit of responsibility, and you watch and see their attitude, and you see how they do with it, how trustworthy they are. You give them enough time for the newness to wear off and them to start getting sloppy and see if they're cutting the corners. And if they're trustworthy and they're doing well, then you give them a little more leash, right? You know what God does sometimes? He makes it look like he's nowhere around. He's waiting. Making you feel like you're all independent and all on your own. But he's watching your way. He's waiting for you to sink your teeth into somebody's leg or somebody's couch or somebody's carpet or somebody's entertainment center. And he's going to come around that corner. You understand that? He knoweth the way that I take. But every once in a while, he's a good enough father to know that he needs to back off and just say, shh. See what he does. He knows my way. He knows my walk. I'll be done in a minute. Look at verse 40. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. He knows your walk. He's held my steps. My foot hath held his steps. That's more than just my way. My way is the big picture of where I'm going, what I'm doing, what I'm all about. My steps, my foot, that's the very details of how I'm moving about. That's the process. That's the fact that I'm doing the right things, like reading my Bible, even though it was kind of dead this morning. like praying, even though it hasn't really been good for a long time. And listen, that little story of I'd like one to like one today. Okay, you know how many prayers I prayed? And he said no. I think he was just kind of extra sweet because he knew we were all anxious and there was a little more on us than what we could handle in our weakness, you know. And so I think he's just been, I mean, just like he's been through you guys. All that stuff showing up at our house and it's just been the hand of God. I know you did it. I'm not taking that away from you, but it's been the Spirit of God in you ministering to us. And it's been a real blessing. It's embarrassing to be ministered to, but it's also a blessing. He's just good like that. But that ain't the norm. The norm is a lot of times I pray because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes I don't. And I think he says, my, you don't got nothing you need. You ain't got no pain. You ain't got no fears. You got all your bills paid. Your marriage is good. Your kids are healthy. Your house is fine. Your bills are good. Your food, your belly's full. You got everything you need, everything you want. Your church is going good. My, you don't have any time to talk to me now, huh? When there are no answers, you better not forget he knows your walk. He might be watching. I think he put stuff like Numbers and the Old Testament law and all that stuff in the Bible and told you to read every bit of it to see if you'll do what he said because every word of God is pure. It might just be there for your character's sake. So you can say, yeah, I did it. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you did, man. You made it through all that. Good for you. If that's all I ever get out of it is just a good job, boy, from God, is that not enough? He knows your walk. And the last thing, and we'll be done, he knows your wants. He says in verse number 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him, for I'm troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. You know what he notices right there in verse number 12? He said, I've not gone back from his commandments. That's his walk, the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what the Lord knows? He knows how bad you want his word. When there's no answer, when there seems to be nothing in it for you, when it doesn't make any sense, God Almighty knows whether or not you truly want his word. It's shocking to me how many people quit when nothing's in it for them. That fast. God watches that. You come to church just to be here to hear the word of God. That's what we're here for, isn't it? You open up your Bible and read it because it's the words of God. And maybe he'll speak to me today. Maybe he won't, but that's his prerogative. Either way, that's his prerogative. He's God. And you're not. Well, I want you to really give me an answer to this. What if he doesn't give you an answer? What if he says, there's no answer this time? All right, well, he's not answering, but he knows my way. And he knows my walk. And he knows my wants. He knows if I really want his word and if I don't. Man, I want his word. I want to know that book. I want to understand it. I want to know his mind. I want to know his heart. I want to know his will. I want to know what he's doing. I want to know how. I want to know how to work for him. I want to know how to work with him. I want wisdom. You understand that? I want wisdom. I want to know how to pastor. I have not got the foggiest. I ain't got the foggiest clue. But God knows your wants. Look at this thing in conclusion, if you would. He says, for I am troubled, verse 15, at his presence. What about that? Well, I mean, you know, perfect love casteth out fear, because fear of torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Get the context. The context of that is salvation. Not work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both the willing to do his good pleasure. A wise man will always tremble at God's presence. Are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Who do you think you are? Oh, I'm ready, brother. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished as an old man. I'm not an old man.
just shocks me how stupid some of these guys are. And they're, you know, God bless them and their young zeal. They probably mean it right and all that stuff. That's why God doesn't kill us. Because I know I've done the same thing myself. I mean, I hate the fact that sermon audio goes back so far. I got over 1,000 sermons on there. Somebody said, I was listening to a sermon of yours from 2012 the other day, and I thought, oh, good night, Lord, help me. We say a bunch of dumb stuff, don't we?
Yes, sir.
No. Somebody said to me, how you doing? I said, I'm not dead. He said, that's good, right? I said, yeah, that's good. I'm ready for the rapture, but I ain't ready to die, okay? There's a big difference, bro. I'm troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. He's that holy. Watch this. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Why? Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. He said he troubles me, he makes my heart soft. Why? Because he didn't kill me before all this pain came in my life. And he didn't stop the pain from coming in my life. That's what that verse means. And he said, I'm troubled. But you know what caught me in that? God maketh my heart soft. Do you know why God allows a lot of bad things to happen to good people? And then sometimes doesn't give them an answer? Because I guarantee you there are certain things, certain levels of compassion and ministry you can't ever reach if you don't ever have your own pain. You have to experience some kind of pain in your life if you're going to be a sweet Christian. And a lot of Christians don't get sweet. They get self-righteous, mean, nasty, and bitter. But he said, for the Almighty maketh my heart soft. I'll be honest with you, I'm almost afraid to say this. I want a soft heart. But you have to experience a little bit of pain to have that hard, tough veneer broken a little bit. And to soften down a little bit. Boy, you know what blows me away about Jesus Christ, and I'm done with this. What blows me away about him? He looked on him, and by looking at him, he had compassion on them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. If I could ever get to where I had compassion on people, just that way, I don't have to be where you've been. If I could ever be spiritual enough, filled with the Holy Spirit enough to minister to people who walked where I haven't walked with a compassionate, wise heart, that'd be amazing. But you know what God has to do with you and me? He has to put a little pain on us to soften up our hearts a little bit. So sometimes he'll put you in the pain. There's no answer. What do? You watch your way because he's watching. You watch your walk because he's watching. And you watch your wants. Stay after the book because he knows what you really want. Let's bow our heads for prayer.